With the first overall selection in the 2025 NHL Draft, the New York Islanders are proud to select from the Erie Otters, Matthew Schaefer.
1 hour later.
With the second overall selection in the 2025 NHL Draft, the San Jose Sharks are proud to select from the Saginaw Spirit, Michael Misa.
2 hours later.
With the third pick of the 2025 NHL Draft, the Chicago Blackhawks select from Djurgården, Anton Frändell.
1 eternity later.
Making the selection for the Sabres are members of the Goo Goo Dolls, a band that got its start in Buffalo. They've been nominated for Grammys 4 times, and tonight, Goo Goo Dolls members Johnny Resnick and Robbie Tkach are on the record with the 9th pick.
All right, with the 9th overall selection in the 2025 NHL Draft, the Buffalo Sabres are proud to select from the Seattle Thunderbirds, Radim Mertka.
Yeah! Yeah!
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Sabres, WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right.
Happy Monday, everybody. June 30th. Jeremy and Joe.
June 30th.
Yeah, free agency, the frenzy begins tomorrow.
Yeah, big frenzy. Can't wait.
Gonna be a frenzy.
There's gonna be a frenzy here, though.
Oh, we'll get.
I'm choosing to be optimistic.
We'll work ourselves into a frenzy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. There isn't a frenzy, we'll be in a frenzy.
Yeah, we'll find a way.
I noticed you got sunglasses on the hat again today.
Oh, yeah, I keep forgetting that.
I think you should just make that the look.
Yeah?
Yeah. Your sunglasses on the hat guy.
I wear sunglasses less than anybody else you know. I don't think to do it.
He said coming in to work twice in the last 2 shows he's been on with sunglasses on.
Yeah. That's how unusual it is for me. Like, why would they be on my hat? I'm driving with them on my hat instead of on my face.
Also, the sun really isn't still up yet.
Right. I bring them because I'm like, oh, that's right. I have this new pair of sunglasses. Not like they're like fancy or anything, but yeah. My wife every once in a while will get me sunglasses and I will lose them in 2 weeks. And then 2 months later, oh, I got your new pair of sunglasses. Great. And then I'll lose them in 2 weeks. And that's pretty much
it. If you're just losing them, shouldn't you? What about that band that goes around the back of the sunglasses?
The Crokies.
The Crokies.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, that's an option.
Do that.
I just never really think to wear them. And then I'll get a pair and think, oh, yeah, I should remember to bring them places because, you know, you could wear sunglasses.
So anyway. You don't need them. Do you have a pair in your car at all times, I assume, though, right?
No.
That's crazy because, man, if you are driving at a certain time and the sun is right in your eyes,
yeah.
I don't know how you're driving.
I know the concept. It's the kind of thing that I never really think to.
Owen and I had bets on if you were going to take them off your hat before the end of the first segment.
If you know
what happened, and Joe gave me the assist there. Yeah. I got the under.
Interesting.
As soon as I logged on the YouTube feed to check things out, I would have taken them off. But here we go. Now try not to leave them here. Mission number one for the day. Remember to take those home.
I mean, you could just put them back on your hat, and you probably won't forget.
Yeah.
Or go on the shirt.
Could clip it on the shirt.
Clip it on the shirt.
Could do that. Yeah. Lots of options. Places you put your sunglasses. My truck has a little holster up there. Every once in a while, I'll think, did I put them up there?
That seems like they should just always be up there.
They're not. But if they're always up there, that means you take them off every time. You're saying, so driving glasses.
Yeah,
When you get out of the car, you're going to put them there. What if you need sunglasses for the place you're going to be? You have a second set? Are there 2 pairs now? We're handing off from one sunglasses
usually,
to the next?
Usually, if I'm going somewhere where I'll be wearing sunglasses and I don't want to take the ones out of the car, I will just take different sunglasses, put them on, and I won't even touch the driving sunglasses. Like, they will just remain. Like, when 4th of July, when I go to the beach, I will wear sunglasses to drive, and I will not, like, I will leave the driving sunglasses up there. They will not move.
So you're treating these driving sunglasses almost like it's a spare tire. Like, that belongs to the car.
Yeah, that belongs to the car.
That belongs to the car, all
right. And there are times, though, where, like, golf, although I usually don't like wearing sunglasses golfing, if I do want them, and that's the only option, then I will do it and just have to remember to put them back.
Yeah.
And, you know, sure, there's a time or two where I click the whole center. I forgot to put them back up there. And that's annoying.
How many people have just car sunglasses?
I think a lot of people.
Yeah, you might be right.
I think like a designated pair. Yeah.
All right.
Rather than just like a random, because then you might have a lot of times where you don't have one, like you're saying.
Yeah, true. Well, good morning. It's Monday. Paul joins us at 8 o'clock. We'll talk about the Sabres and what they've done through the draft. I have ESPN's breakdown of their draft. We'll have some fun along the way as well because, you know, we got to schedule fun. But lots to get to on the Sabres, and also a funny blast from the past that I was – well, let's put it this way. I heard Kevin Adams say something, and I thought, I've heard that before. And I went back and I found it quite easily from approximately 12 years ago. So, you know, good times, good times. The Sabres traded J.J. Peterka while I was away. I was playing 100 holes on Thursday and then took Friday off also. And Peterka got traded for a couple of players. I was not listening Thursday morning when you guys were talking about Peterka because I was out walking the 100.
Yep.
But I'd heard again and again and again that people were upset. People were really upset by this.
Yeah.
Because Peterka's a good young player, maybe one-dimensional, but whatever. A good player, a guy you draft and develop and you send away. It's the completion of the arc. Get drafted, get good, and go away.
Yeah. Which he might have broke the record, though, for doing it the quickest that anybody's ever done it.
Is there any concern on your part that this now shows the off-ramp for anybody that wants to do it? Because Peterka, you know, there was a lot of, why should they do this for him? And yet they did it.
They did it, and he didn't really have to put up much of a fight.
No.
Right? Like
one off season, agent floating rumors, gone.
The more I when I listened to Kevin Adams' press conference on Friday night, so after the first round, and he's being asked about the Peterka deal, and he's talking about how dealing with the agent and with Peterka, how like they wanted to engage in contract talks and it just wasn't gonna go there, which made it sound like they would never even talk. Like, we're not talking dollars. We're not talking years. The more Adams talked about it, the more it just felt like to me he just didn't want to fight. He didn't have it in him to have a fight here with. He could have, right? Like, any team could have, like, I'm going to fight for this guy. And the Sabres just decided, yeah, we'll go for the divorce instead.
Yeah, and the idea that you can't get to contract talk is a little bit... It goes back to when the Bills try for Antonio Brown. Like, that's not going to happen. We're not going to do that, right? Your reputation, you have... This is pre-Josh Allen. Like, the pre-Josh Allen Bills, anybody signs here, it would be a bit of a shock. Oh, okay, this must be a second-tier guy. This must be a... When Mario signed, it was, of course, shocking for the entire NFL. Like, why would anybody go there? That's not a place you would ever want to play. And for Peterka, if you offer him, all right, call the agent. Hey, let's get on about a deal. We'd love to lock you up 7 years. Like, nah, I'm good. Your money's no good. My client doesn't want to play for you. Doesn't want to be there. And you might wonder if that's about market size. You might wonder if that's about competitiveness. But I guess the question I would ask is, as you're scouting these players, should you have seen that coming? Should you have known that about him? The personality is he wants to be somewhere that fill in the blank. He's from Munich. I want a big city kind of place. I mean, Munich. I've been in Munich. I don't know how – it's not exactly New York City. Or I don't know what it is compared to Salt Lake, where he did sign.
Salt Lake, where he signed, like
– right away.
Yeah.
So something about there is something he wants and something he likes.
Or it was truly about just it felt poisonous here to him.
Yeah.
Because I was having a tough time figuring out, okay, why did he really get dealt here? Because it's not about going to a big city. He didn't get traded to New York or Los Angeles. He went to it depends how you do it. If you go by like TV market size, I guess Salt Lake is bigger, but if you go by population, Salt Lake is smaller, whatever. He went to a comparable city.
Yep.
That actually, like, if you're a young hockey player and maybe you like to go out once in a while and have fun.
Less of that.
There's less of that.
There's not a lot.
There's less of that there. If you care about winning, big winning culture. I'm not saying that Utah isn't a more believable winner right now than the Sabres are. Their owner is making it seem like they're going in. Like they are going to try to be a great team. They have not done it yet though. And if you go back to the Arizona days, they have not been that in a long, long, long time. So Sure, but more believable winner. He did not go to Tampa. He did not go to Carolina. He did not go to LA even. So, was it all about the winning? Because he didn't go to the biggest winner.
Nope.
He didn't go to the biggest city. So what was it? Was it the coach? Was it money? I guess Adam's kind of implying that it wasn't about money. So I don't really know, even sitting here right now, why did he actually get traded? What was his big problem with the team?
Maybe Adams. Maybe
it was Adams.
Maybe ownership. Maybe it's Mike Greer leaves because he doesn't think the organization is committed to winning, kind of thing.
That could be right.
Is the Utah organization committed? I don't know.
The sales pitch that owner gives right now is that they very much are. Yep. Right. He is putting millions into that arena, and he is going after big names in the trade market. And they did have 89 points last year, so they missed two, but they were better. So, again, I do think it's more believable. But, yeah, people were upset, and I don't know. It didn't make me feel, and I'm wondering if fans felt the same on Friday, any better that Adams kind of made it sound like he just wasn't ready. He just didn't want to – he did not want the fight.
Right.
He didn't want to go to the agent and the player who would have said, yeah, your money's no good here, and say, all right, let's find out. Let's go. Let's do this. Put the gloves on. We're going to go past July 1st because we've got 4 years of rights.
Right.
And instead, the Sabres acted like they didn't have any rights. That, you know, what's the point? What's the point of having all that leverage if you're just going to punt the first time it's 4th and 1?
And, right, leverage. And if they just give a qualifying offer instead and Paterka's playing for peanuts, relatively, it gets to be November, and you say, like, you ready to take $8 million yet? You ready to take $6 million yet? Whatever. Mm-hmm. Maybe he changes his tune. Maybe a year and a half into that, he changes his tune.
I also don't think it helped when we got lots of reports about like what they could have had the next day, which all sounded like better things.
Let's talk about that. There are then reports that they could have had Jordan Kyrou of the Blues or Marco Rossi of the Wild. And
Noah Dobson was the other one.
Noah Dobson of the Islanders, who did get moved, right?
He did.
He got moved.
And so then like he signed for $9.5 million per year.
Which is... he's also something the Sabres could have definitely used. I'd seen him linked. Yep. These are not players I expect, you know, the casual hockey fan. I mean, I would expect only the hardcore hockey fans to know these names, to be honest. And I wonder about the reports there. Hey, the Sabres were also offered this and this and this and this. That might also just be the agent wrapping things up. Like, hey, the league thought a lot of my guy and would have offered these players that you've heard of and players that you've heard of.
I definitely believe that about... like, Cervelli reported, the three he reported were the Kyrou one, the Dobson one, and then there was another one which was 2 first-round picks and 2 roster players.
Right.
Which is very up in the air.
Sure.
Who are the roster players, right?
Who's the team? If it's Tampa, then, you know, those 2 first-round picks have significantly less value, probably.
Sure. Than a team that was picking, like, you know, 10th or something.
Yeah.
But the other one about Rossi came from Michael Russo,
who is
like that came from the Wild.
That's right.
That report came from probably directly from Bill Guerin, the Wild general manager.
Is he the one that reported the Sabres didn't want it because they didn't want another undersized forward?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
Yep. 5'9". And then immediately you go look at the Sabres roster and go, they actually don't have like any undersized forwards on their roster.
Zach Benson
is like the one guy, and he plays like he's 6'2", doesn't he? Doesn't everybody always, you know, give him lots of props for his compete level and winning battles? So like, okay, the one small guy is the one guy that actually battles.
Yeah.
So okay, why don't I need another undersized one?
Don't want another 5'9" forward like, you know, Danny Briere is 5'9". You don't want anybody like that. That guy's too small.
Right. So that one did not sit well with me, and I think that made it a little bit worse. But it's kind of the theme of their week, isn't it? That like, oh no, they're not going for 5'9" guys.
Well, that's
going
the thing.
Going for big boys.
If you want, you know, I think there's a lot of ways to do this. There's still more offseason to come. And I guess part of frustration with Adams might be, I don't really know how I should be reading him or taking him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's up there trying not to say anything. That's what GMs often do. Oh, we're in on everything. Oh, this and this. And you want to communicate with your fans, but also play poker a little bit. And I just don't know. I don't know where he's coming from in a lot of cases. And one of them is when talking about Byram, you know, in potentially trading him or whatever. Hey, if he, I know one thing's certain. Like if he signs for 1 year or 2 years or 8 years,
mm-hmm.
he's going to give us his best. And he says something like that, and I think, Do you have an idea of what you want to do with Bo Byram?
Because
if you're talking about 8 years as a possible thing, but also trading him as a possible thing, who's in charge? What's the plan? Do you like this player enough to sign him for 8 years? Or is that just something you say? Do you like this player enough to sign him for 4 years? Or do you want to trade him for whatever you can get? You see him as an elite defenseman. If that's the case, then
you wouldn't get rid of him.
You probably would not get rid of him. Or your price for Bo Byram would be very high, which is what some of the reports are. The Sabres are kind of surprised how soft the Byram market is. All right. Whatever.
Or is it that they do want him and he's another case of, well, they know he doesn't want to be here and that's why he's on the trade
market? Well, the reporting on him is not as much about
To be here.
It's about a role. He wants a role.
Right.
And he might not have that role. Now we've got, is Kesselring Owen Power's partner? I mean, the Sabres,
I think so.
The Sabres want to go Power, Kesselring, and then Dahlin and Byram together because Byram with Dahlin has been great. But then again, so is everybody because Dahlin is that good. The whole thing, like, you've got free agency. You've got a Byram deal. You've got things that could happen. I went to those couple days off as we were approaching the start of the offseason, hoping that the Sabres would do a two-for-one deal. You be the team that makes a trade, getting the best piece back in a trade. And they did not do that. They did not do that probably in, well, they might have.
No, they did the opposite. They traded a one for two people.
They traded one for two, and then the other trade, Connor Clifton goes out for Connor Timmins. Like, that's a two-piece for two-piece. And, all right, we'll see who gets the best player in that deal. But, yeah, I was hoping Byram and or Paterka were going out and one biggest piece comes back. That didn't happen. So now the question becomes, what will the biggest addition they make this offseason be? Will it be Kesselring? Is your big move, your signature move for the offseason, the big piece you got is part of a two guys came in, one guy left? Because that's a pretty sad offseason to me. That's pretty sad. Are they going to approach goalie? A serious team looks for goalie help, looks for veteran goalie help. Maybe they sign Jake Allen. If they were to do that, 3 years, 15 for Jake Allen, it might be a bet on an aging player. But at least it would be, all right, they are committed to, we need some saves. Dang it, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know any of it. And I wrote this down, and whatever, it sounds harsh, it probably is harsh. As I'm watching their trades and watching their draft and watching what they're doing, I see players moved and players re-signed. That was a part of the Bills offseason, right? The Bills had a relatively pedestrian offseason. The big part was signing their own guys that are good. So you'd point to, well, yeah, sure, here's the draft and here's free agency, but we also locked up four players we like a lot. All right, that's a busy offseason. That's a good job. I mean, the Sabres don't have extensions anybody's really happy about right now. Jack Quinn. Of the Quinn Cousins Paterka line, Quinn's the one that stays.
We had talked to Paul a couple of times during the offseason, and, like, you know, whenever he'd come up just kind of in passing, I think Paul would say, like, I would just offer him his qualifying offer. Whatever, what was like $1 million, like $1.1 million or something. Like, I don't think he's earned anything more than the minimum he could get. And they gave him, I'm not going to be worried about it. They have $21 million in cap space, but they gave him $3.3 million. Really? For what? That's looked good to them?
Yeah.
$3.3 million? I mean, didn't a lot of people have the same reaction when they saw that contract, which is they don't want to make it look like they're so far below the cap. That was a thought I had. And I do wonder that I wonder what their plan is for tomorrow because or for a bigger trade. Because, man, if you even want to show enough that you even want to make it look like you're spending near the cap. If you even want to try to hide it a little bit, they're going to have to spend something here. They opened up $3 million trading away Connor Clifton. That trade made it look like they're Vegas or they're Toronto. They're a team like up against the cap that's got to clear some space. So let's get this bad contract off our books and let's give the other team a good pick for it. Good pick, relatively. That trade is not something they needed salary-wise, but it feels like that almost had to be a part of the value. So what is that? Are they just, is this their internal budget showing? Or are they gearing up to try to go all in on a couple of players? in free agency because now they have as much space as anybody. And suddenly, if you're trading Byram, you don't really have guys to sign. It's just really McLeod that'll take up a big chunk of that $21 million. So I don't know how big their plan is, but they have to spend at least a little bit if they even want to pretend that they are spending near the cap. They're so far away from it right now.
Right. And the projected cap would be Paterka's number, right? That's a number that no longer goes in their projection.
Right.
Whatever that might have been. So they sent out $3 million and they brought in 4.1, I guess are the numbers. I saw Chaddy Domenis is tweeting about this. So they added a little bit to their cap with these deals.
But with both trades?
With all the trades they made, $3 million out, 4.1.
But that's not counting what Paterka's contract was.
Exactly,
be, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Once you get to Paterka's added in there, it's actually you saved about six.
Right.
So
because you were going to have to pay him.
Right, right. I don't know. The whole thing to me, I'm just like getting down to one sentence that I wrote about what the Sabres offseason, we've got tough to play against. We're going to hear tough to play against again. Remember last year's offseason, the message?
It was tougher to play against. Same thing?
Yeah. That's why they signed the fourth line. They revamped their fourth line because they needed to be tougher to play against.
Which was Lafferty, Malenstein, and Obey Kubel.
Yep.
Yeah, and only one of those three maybe right now you would even project to be in the opening night lineup.
And would you even care if they are?
No, I don't even. Right. It's no difference to me.
I mean, it's that last year's offseason was about knowing the coach, accountability, and tougher to play against. And here we are this offseason. It's about tougher to play against. So, okay.
Which is a little odd to me. I wonder what Paul's thoughts on this. We talk to him later. They are preaching tougher to play against. They went after, I mean, even if you want to include the first round pick, Mertka and Timmins and Kesselring, like these big defensemen. You look at their defense core right now, it's pretty huge. Like Dahlin is their second smallest defenseman right now, I think, at like 6'3". None of them are really physical. None of them. Timmins had like less than a hit per game last season. And everything is like, oh, he's an offensive defenseman in kind of his soul. And Kesselring, it was big and can skate, but, you know, he's not necessarily the meanest defenseman. And the first-round pick, Mertka, was kind of described the same way. Like, oh, maybe he could grow into that. So I don't know. Is that still get filed under tougher to play against just because they're big? Because it feels like they have more defensemen now on their blue line. This might even be a bad thing. They just have size, and they might not have as much physicality as they might get credit for. But are you still tougher to play against just because everybody is 6'3 or bigger?
Maybe you are.
I made a point about this on Saturday doing the draft coverage with the two giant defensemen they drafted, and I think it fits with these guys too. The way the game is now, the advantage of big defensemen isn't always necessarily
they're
going to
hit you over the middle of the ice.
It's length and lane coverage with the need to skate less distance. That's where the advantage comes, I think, a lot more in the modern game with big defensemen. It's reach and skating ability, and that's, I think, what they've added in both Timmins and in Kesselring. The ability to get into lanes more effectively and kill plays that way rather than with their big frames, which they are adept at, but like you said, they're not great at it. But their advantage is they're good skaters to get those big frames in spaces that will stop teams from gaining speed in the neutral zone and getting the puck in and getting to the net front. They're better at tying up sticks just because of their length. I think that's where a little more of the size advantage comes in the modern game with defensemen now.
803-0550. Plenty to get to. We could talk about whether or not the Sabres could kind of wow us and, you know, score a fish in free agency. I did listen to Sal had a woman that covers the Utah Hockey Club, the Mammoth, talk about Kesselring and Josh Doan. And it made me feel pretty good about the deal, the kind of players that they are. So that's good. You know, how invested they are, the kind of players, the kind of people. Like, fine. That's great. But I'll say what I have written down and get into it as we go. But believing in a Sabres offseason, it's the kind of thing that you do if you are able to pretend there are no other teams in the league. Other, is that right? Watch another team's offseason.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And you'll say, like, all right. Like Detroit has
John Gibson.
John Gibson.
They needed a goalie, and they're
just gonna go do
it. They got probably the biggest goalie that'll get moved.
Right. We need a goalie. Let's go do it. Make it happen. Not we have all the faith in the world in the guys that are already standing in the room. And a Sabres offseason is often about that. Hyper specific needs. Right shot defenseman. That's the ticket. You'd have analytics people tell you that Connor McDavid is worth 8 points in the standings, which I always thought was crazy. But that one player in the standings, what are they worth? And the Sabres are out here just like tinkering on the edges. Like, all right, let me change something super small. That'll be the key. I don't know. I feel like it's always small time. There's never the big move, but there's offseason left, and whether that's Byram or signing somebody, who knows. But if you're able to pretend there are no other teams also trying to get good, you know, you have some moves. 803-0550. You can give us a ring if you want. 1-888-550-2550. Stat of the day on those defensemen, by the way. The big defenseman. This kind of gets to Owen's point about the draft. We'll get you that when you get back. And a grade. ESPN went so far as to grade
NHL draft grades.
Yes.
Who is putting their name on that? That's crazy.
What do you think the Sabres got? A little right up there about what the Sabres got. So it's all coming up. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.
What I would say is we need to be better defensively, so we would look for that type of acquisition if they're available, whether that's free agency, trade. And I continue to say this, but we have to be harder to play against. We have to have guys in our lineup that just raise the compete level. And some of that can be our own internal growth, like our own players just getting harder and stronger and, you know, even a year older. Some of that happens in the maturity. So that'll be our focus the rest of the way.
Harder to play against, Kevin Adams says. Well, they'll be their focus the rest of the way. He's in his sixth offseason at the helm, looking to be tougher to play against. I said to you, should we put on the bet board, will a player get headshotted and there's no response and there's a team meeting this year? Happens every couple years, maybe more than people like, and tougher to play against. I know it's more than just responses to, you know, your players getting hit. It's a lot of things, but anyway, they want to be tougher to play against. I'm just looking.
It's not going to be very tough. They can't score more than 2 goals a game. Say that
because they've given up some of their offense.
I mean, right now, do they look like a team on paper? It's going to be able to score goals.
Depends how good Josh Norris is. I have no idea what to expect out of Josh Norris. If he's good to great. Then it kind of changes the arithmetic.
Even with him, your top six is real flimsy.
Yeah.
Like your most important players offensively, if I assumed, which is a lot to assume, that Norris was going to stay healthy, I still right now need a good size jump from at least one of the kids. Benson offensively or Quinn doubling his production or... I mean, really, Kulik would be the one that is most likely here, right? That Kulik would go from a 25-point player to, what, a 50-point player?
Yep.
Like, that might be the one that maybe even people would bet on that to happen. I feel like I'm relying on that, and that is even with the guy that can't stay healthy staying healthy.
Is this where you say something like an Östlund or a Roseanne?
I don't even want
right.
to mention them because it just feels like that's what we do every year, isn't it?
It's ridiculous, I know.
Yeah. It really could just be that they think, you know, and I think, did Adams even say this a little bit? What's tougher to acquire and versus what might be easier to acquire? We'll see, but... If you look at free agency, like you would think finding your way to a guy who can pot you 20 goals, that's maybe a little more one-dimensional. Like those guys are out there. You have to pay them. You have to be willing to pay them. But there should be a few of those players out there, even beyond like the star guys that are going to make $9+ million a year. Like Marner's going to get that, and like Nikolaj Ehlers is going to get over $9 million per year. Like, could they find their way to a $5 million, another Jason Zucker? Even,
I suppose so.
I bet they'll do something like that tomorrow, and we'll hear. I bet we'll be hearing an explanation as to why they did it, and the guy probably will have scored like 30 goals 3 years ago, and maybe scored 12 last year, and we'll be trying to believe that he can bounce back to what he was in 2022. That might be the best I can end up with tomorrow for this team.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Let me get the phones going here. Let me get the mouse Rolled. Yeah, we have a mouse.
We still have a mouse.
Corded. Which is probably not that rare. Bobby in Niagara Falls. Hey, Bobby.
Hi, guys. Hi, Jer. Hi, Joe. By the way, Jer, do you ever see Dan Hager anymore before I ask
I do. Question? Yes, I do. It's always a pleasure to see Dan Hager. Yep.
Okay. Now, my buddies and I were having lunch yesterday, and they said there's nothing that Kevin Adams can do because, according to what they told me, I'm not an expert. These are my buddies. Nobody wants to come here anymore, so Kevin Adams' hands are tied. Is that true or is that not true? Or is there something that he still can do? And thanks very much.
Well, it's likely in a lot of cases, guys that have choices likely don't want to. Mm-hmm. That's been the case for a long time. It might be in a spot where it's worse than it's been in years.
Mm-hmm.
I would contend that having the GM still here another year hurts them there. Maybe Yarmo helps them there. This is the life cycle of a hockey team that's supposed to go through changes. They're supposed to have maybe last year parted ways with the GM, and this is year two of a build. And there's no doubt that coming here and playing for this organization is something a lot of players would not view as something they'd like to do if they had choices. There's no doubt about it. But there are plenty of examples you could trade for players that don't have a choice. For instance, is it tomorrow that Kyrou and Elias Pettersson have no trade clauses kick in? So
yep. If
you want St. Louis's Jordan Kyrou.
Tomorrow noon,
okay.
I think.
So you have until then to make a trade to get those guys, and then once that deadline passes, those guys can say, I won't go there.
And probably will.
Yeah.
And probably will do that. Right. You could. The one way you can get guys to come to a place that they otherwise probably wouldn't in professional sports is money.
Yeah, overpay them. And Adams,
and they just
said more money doesn't make guys happy. Like
right.
he's already telling you we're not going to do that.
Right. So their one avenue to maybe accomplish it, they closed that door. They don't.
Yeah.
In a certain circumstance, really the two biggest circumstances maybe that they've done it are when they could do it on a 1-year deal. When they don't have to tie themselves all long-term for it.
Taylor Hall, Jason Zucker.
Yeah.
If it doesn't
yeah.
go well, here's a good contract, and if it doesn't go well, we'll send you somewhere.
Right. And we'll give you $2-3 million more maybe than anybody else is going to.
Do you think at last year's deadline they asked Zucker, do you want to go? What do you want to do?
I'm sure they asked
and
him that.
He thought, like, well, let's see if we can get something done here.
Yeah.
But if he had said, I want to go, they probably would have done it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. They probably would have had a wink-wink agreement about that. They probably have a wink-wink agreement with almost anybody they sign in July with that.
Even just straight-on handshake agreements. Like, listen, if we get there in February and we're not in the race and you want to go somewhere, we'll talk about it. Like, we'll make that happen.
We're not going to keep you for the rest of the year, like, to play meaningless games. Like, if you have a shot to win a cup, we'll go give it to you.
I mean, they not only do that, they'll trade you where you want to go in some cases, opposed to wanting to go to Florida. He got traded to Florida.
Right.
So...
I would expect something like that.
Yeah. Thanks, Bobby. So there's no doubt that it's a reality. I owe you the stat of the day. You want that or you want something else first?
No, go ahead. Yeah, stat of the day.
So stat of the day. Stat of the day is powered by Empire Electric, your residential neighborhood electrician. Visit EmpireElectricians.com. Sabres drafted a bunch of big defensemen.
Yep.
Big 6'5", 6'6", 6'3". And this is kind of getting to the point about, you know, you could look at your own team or you could look at the entire league. So did everybody. Everybody added big defensemen. Everybody. Not a single defenseman was drafted that was under 6 foot.
Oh.
Not one.
So disrespectful to the Tobias Enstroms and the, I guess, Jacob Bryson. Who's the best example of this?
Torrey Krug. Can I go Torrey
Krug? Torrey Krug. Weeps.
I always liked Torrey Krug.
Who's the best small Sabre defenseman?
How big is Brian Campbell? Not
he was over 6 foot, I think.
I don't
right?
think so.
You think he was under 6 foot?
I think so. Torrey Krug, 5'9".
God, Campbell, 5'10".
Yep. I felt pretty good about that.
So not a single one got drafted under 6 feet tall.
Nope.
The biggest false narrative about them right now is that the Buffalo Sabres are little.
Yeah, they're not.
You could call them soft, and you could say, like, oh, they don't stick up for each other. But do not call them little. I think it was before the Timmins trade, so maybe this is after Kesselring. They were Someone had these. Someone tweeted these numbers. They were the third biggest team in the league by height and the seventh biggest by weight. Like, oh yeah, can't get another undersized player on that team. They're the third biggest team in the league by height. Third tallest, sixth heaviest. There we go.
Yeah.
It's a myth. They're not small. They might be soft, but even that, I feel like is overstated sometimes.
Trying to get tougher to play against. So free agency opens tomorrow. The Marner stuff is interesting. Tampering. You threaten Vegas with a tampering charge. Their answer is probably, yeah, sounds great.
But,
who cares?
But Toronto isn't even, like, Toronto is taking a bribe, aren't they? Do you see
They might trade for the rights.
They're going to trade for the rights and get a good player back so that they don't cause a headache. That is, isn't that Vegas openly bribing Toronto? Like, yes. Hey, we did cheat here. We're going to give you this second pair of defensemen so you don't call us out on it. That's a bribe.
Yeah.
Toronto doesn't look good in that, do they?
Well, sure, if you can leverage it into a player.
It feels a little shady to me. Although Vegas, I can respect some of it, though, right? Like, Vegas is cold sometimes, and they are shady, but I guess it's just a desire for the Sabres to just be a little bit more desperate to win. Like, that team acts all the time.
803-0550, our phone number. If you're on hold, stick with us. Plenty to catch up on. Paul at 8, and the offseason continues. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.
With the 10th overall selection in the 2025 NHL Draft, the Anaheim Ducks are proud to select from the Brandon Wheat Kings, Roger McQueen.
And he's going to wear number 95. Is that right? They put him in a 95 jersey. He's going to make the NHL first.
Lightning. Are they making him wear 95, or is he always worn 95?
I don't know. I think they're doing it because he's in Anaheim, and that's where Cars Land is.
And
Lightning McQueen wore 95.
I guess Disney doesn't own the team anymore, but, you know, maybe there's still connection points there.
Great call going 95 for McQueen there. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy Monday. It's beautiful out today. It's going to be beautiful, I think, pretty much the whole day today. Highs in the 80s, high about 85. Maybe some rain passing through, but yeah, going to be a warm one today. Hot weekend, warm weekend.
Yep.
Had 100 holes on Thursday. I've got a new answer when people ask me, how exhausted were you after the 100 holes on Thursday? My answer is now less exhausted than it was after yesterday hosting and all the after effects of a one-year-old birthday party. That is more taxing.
One-year-old birthday party up here, 100 holes.
100 holes of golf.
Down below.
Yeah.
Okay.
I also found a guy that played recently, I think, 800 holes of golf in a day.
800?
Yeah.
How's it possible? He would have to be running, I think.
He was.
Yeah, because it takes you guys, what, 5 a.m. to, when'd you finish?
8 p.m.
8 p.m.
Yeah, he was running.
Times 8. He'd have to be sprinting the whole
day.
Yeah,
he's an ultra marathon guy that did 92 miles of golf in one day. I'll get you that full story a little bit later.
I bet he only had, like, one club.
Right.
Honestly.
Paul in Buffalo. Hey, Paul. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. You know, Joe, when I called you last week, I wasn't really upset about the Paterka trade because I figured, you know, you're gonna swing Byram, the first round pick, and Konstantelenius for an elite forward. Or maybe in my wildest dreams, we get a real goaltender in here. And now we know what the Paterka trade was about. It was about money because he's making $7 million a year, and then we overpay a guy who I think is a bust, Jack Quinn, and even overpaying him, you're paying him half of what Paterka makes a year. And now we look, and does anyone think an elite forward or an elite goaltender is going to come back and fill this roster out? I don't think so. I mean, we make the first round pick for some kid who's not going to be on this roster for three seasons. And Konstantelenius, well, I can tell everyone what Konstantelenius is. Guess who your new top six forward is, Buffalo Sabre fans. It'll be whatever 19-year-old Konstantelenius next year, because we love to play children in our top six.
So that's what it's going to be. And we're not going to get a goaltender. We're not going to make some blockbuster trade with the New York Rangers to get Igor Shesterkin, because that would be brilliant. That would make the fans happy. We don't do things like that. We're going to run UPL and Levi out there. We're going to sell everyone on Konstantin Hellenius, and we're going to still have a bottom five coaching staff in the NHL, because that's what we have, a bottom five coaching staff. And goaltenders cover up bad coaches. We don't have a goaltender to cover up our bad coaches. So, Lindy, we're coming for you this season. I didn't say a word about your awful job last year because of who you are. But you know what? You want your assistant coaches, so you got them now, buddy. So, Lindy, you got a hell of a job working for you this year. Good luck, buddy. I don't think you can do it personally. Have a great show, guys.
Thanks, Paul. You know, I did have the thought, if you want to go bigger, bigger, bigger picture, that, I mean, I know that there's some good talent on this roster, so you don't want to say that it's devoid of that. But I do think that the Buffalo Sabres are likely, as a franchise model, to hope to be the team that wins modestly with toughness and grit and hardest-working team in hockey vibes. And the visions of having the great players and being an elite team, like, that's just, you gotta put that aside for a long time, I think. Like Paul says, you know, elite goal scorers, elite this and that. You know, the Sabres made a trade for a guy like Michael Kesselring, and meanwhile, Mitch Marner is going to go to a team and put up 110 points for that team. And Mitch Marner is going to be pretty darn tough to play against, because he is tough to play against.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's always this idea of tough to play against. The Sabres have been saying it for a decade, more than a decade. In fact, we've got that for you.
And they've tried it a lot.
They've tried it a ton.
Yeah.
It's always tough to play against. Always.
It's almost every blueprint they've had except for 14 years.
Yeah, 05, 06.
Well, no, I'm saying during the drought.
Okay, sorry.
Like the tank.
Yep.
And Granato. The start of Granato.
Right.
That's it. Everything else they've tried feels like it's something close to this.
Some version of, yeah, blue collar lunch pail. Right.
Let's go trade for Steve Ott.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's that's the next era we're in for, which can win. You know, you can make the playoffs like that. Plenty of teams do. And beyond that, I mean, I feel like we shouldn't even necessarily have those conversations for a while. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe, Paul at 8, and more of your calls along the way as well. NHL offseason, we'll check in on plenty of other things going on in the world. What do I have here written in my notes?
There was a three-day wedding this weekend.
I don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
There was a three-day wedding?
There was a three-day wedding by the richest man in the world, I believe.
Okay, all right.
There was one idea in there that I just wanted to
Idea of the day.
Wedding
returns.
Idea of the day.
That's exciting.
I think it was on day three. Yeah, day three of this three-day
wedding. My idea is leave after day one, and you let me know what happened on day two and day three.
Uh-huh.
Jeremy and Joe on WGR.